for the offering. Jesus.
Amen. Yes, I have the privilege of sharing on the offering here this morning. As Pastor David was just saying, you know, that about our worship and how it is an act of service to God, how that God inhabits the praises of His people. And another way that we worship the Lord is in our tithes and offerings. Just as our praises come up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, so our giving comes up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. And so here this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the grace for giving. And Pastor David just mentioned about grace, and we just sang about God's grace. Yes, we are living in the age of grace. This is the church age for the past 2,000 years. We are living under God's grace. Every morning that you get up and you take a breath in your lungs, it's because of God's grace. The very fact that I'm standing here in front of you is because of God's grace. So there is God's undeserved favor that each of us receive because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that He has paid the price for us to receive that grace. Hallelujah. But then there's another aspect of grace. There is an empowerment that comes from the Lord, or a grace that is given to you to perform certain acts. Just like the grace was given to this church yesterday to minister to all those people at that outreach. Hallelujah. There is a grace given to us for giving. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. And the reason that I'm talking to you about that today is because I believe this church is going to another level in our giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God will empower us to give. He will empower us to be a blessing to those around us. And the reason that He does that is because He wants us to be just like Him. Because He is the greatest giver ever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What greater example of giving His all than giving His Son, His most precious gift? Hallelujah. Now, as I was researching this topic, sometimes I think I live under a rock. But I found out that there is a message of grace giving that is trying to infiltrate the church. And this is not a message of grace giving. See, in grace giving, you just give whatever you feel to give. You give however you feel to give. There's no responsibility with it. They don't follow the word when it tells you to give your tithe. And then your offering is above and beyond that. They just say you can give whatever you want. It's a message that comes out of the hyper grace movement. That you can do whatever you want. And God knows all. And you know He's a gracious God and He forgives everything. No, we have a responsibility to follow what the Word of God says. And yes, we give our tithe, which is our reasonable service. But what I'm talking to you about today goes above and beyond the tithe. This is the grace for giving. The grace of giving in every area of our life. Giving our time, our talents, and our money. Hallelujah. So in Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, I did not get the scriptures in this morning because I was giving. While you were finding Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, I just want to share with you about my wife. See, many of you don't know what she does behind the scenes. How she gives it all. See, you don't know that she got up at 6:30 this morning to get out here to get all the decorations done. You don't know that while we were at the outreach yesterday, she was here decorating nonstop. It's out of her heart to see this place look good, to see it prepared for the people that she does these things. But it's an empowerment by God on her life to do that. And so she's walking in God's grace as she does these things. And she is preparing this place, especially for this Christmas Eve service coming up, because she wants the people that come here, the unchurched, those that have never received Jesus, she wants things to be right for them. So in Proverbs 11, 24 through 25, it says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." So as you can see there, this is a lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle. It's an everyday looking for people to bless. It is a lifestyle of giving to people. Giving them money if they need money. Giving them salvation if they need salvation. Giving them healing if they need healing. It is not living inward. It is living outward. And it is the grace of God or the power of God that allows you to do that. Ecclesiastes 11:6. I'm reading this out of the Amplified Classic. "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hands. For you do not know what shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good." So what that is telling us is to keep sowing our seed. Keep being generous day in and day out. Because the only thing that we have control of is the seeds that we sow. We don't have control of the harvest. The Lord knows the harvest. And he knows which seed is going to produce. But it's up to us to be faithful to plant the seed. To put the seed out there. So that's our part to play. So we have to decide every day, are we going to sow good seeds? Are we going to sow into people's lives? It's a every moment of everyday choice. We not only sow by what we give to people, we sow by what we speak to people. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, eat the fruit thereof. And so it's up to us to speak life in every situation. And to, every time the opportunity comes along, to give in every situation. Hallelujah. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8... I'm going to be reading several verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 1 out of the Amplified Classic. And this was actually the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinthians, or the Corinth church. And what he was doing was telling them about another church, the Macedonian church. And so he was giving them an example to follow. And so what he said in verse 1, this is 2 Corinthians 8:1. We want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give alms. So see, this church experienced God's grace. Yes, we experience the love of God. Yes, we experience salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we experience the Holy Spirit, because Jesus paid for the Holy Spirit to come to us. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And so when we receive these things, then it ignites us to want to release these things, to give out these things. And so you can see that this church in Macedonia received God's grace. But then if you jump down to verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 8, I'm going to read 7 to 9 here. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Now I'm reading out the NIV because it says grace of giving there. Many versions just say, see that you also excel in this grace. But when you study it out, this is the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. See, he paid the price. He paid the price not only to give us the grace of salvation, but he paid the price to give us the power to give. Hallelujah. Now in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, I'm reading out the Amplified Classic here. This is, you know, a scripture that we go to many times for the offering. But in this scripture, it talks about grace multiple times. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves and he takes pleasure in and prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Hallelujah. Now pay particular attention to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good and charitable donation. Hallelujah. So see, if you are a giver, if you participate in this power of giving, God is not willing to do without you. And so I can tell you that there is a blessing in that. I know of a pastor, Pastor Debbie Rich, down in Florida, who had a major attack from the enemy. Her aorta ruptured right above her heart. And that is a problem that most people do not recover from. Matter of fact, she says every time that she goes to the doctor and a doctor reads her medical report, they say, how are you here? But when this happened to her, the Lord spoke to her pastors, and specifically Pastor Adonica Howard Brown, and said, Pastor Debbie is not leaving us here today because she is a giver and I need her in my church. So see, there is a place for us. And when you become a giver with all of your heart, God is not willing to do without you. Hallelujah. But as I said in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. And so when I looked up the word grace in Noah Webster's dictionary, and I like using that dictionary because it's little old-fashioned, maybe like me. But what it says is there's multiple definitions under grace, and of course it's unearned favor. But it said it is an attitude of gratitude. It is being ready and willing and prompt in every situation. And when you have every opportunity to do it, do good and release the love of God, release the goodness of God, release the healing of God, and release the provision of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, ushers, we are going to receive the offering here this morning. Yes, this is an offering message, but yes, this is a lifestyle message. This is a lifestyle of giving each and every day. So if you're watching online, there's multiple ways to give. I probably might butcher this, but there you can mail your love gifts in to New Freedom Church, P.O. Box 164, Churchill, Maryland, 21623. You can give by Venmo. You can text to give, 866-863-1948. Or online, you can go to www.newfreedom-church.com/give. So there's many different ways to give. And I just encourage you to ask the Lord, what would you have me give here today? Because I can tell you that this is good ground. You can see by the outreach that we did yesterday and the souls that came into the kingdom that this is a church that is after God's own heart. And when souls are coming into the kingdom, that is where you want to sow your seed, I'm here to tell you. Hallelujah. But the other reason that we should want to sow our seed is because the Lord Jesus Christ gave us his all. And when you truly realize what he has given us, then you realize that everything that we have belongs to him. And so in every situation, it's all yours, Lord. Whatever you want, whatever you speak to me to give, I will give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So ushers, if you would please come forward. And if you'll go ahead and collect the offering. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you today. Lord, everything that we have is yours. Whatever you have need of, Lord, just speak it to us and we will obey. But Lord, we thank you for the willing servants here today who have given from their heart. May you pour out a blessing on them that they cannot contain. And Lord, I thank you that you say in your word that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the blessings of heaven raining down on your people here today. And thank you, Lord, that you are not willing to do without us because we love you, Lord, and we give you our all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to stay in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you
I thank you for this day. Let your grace be upon each and every one of us. Let your favor be upon the word going forth, upon my lips this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that is the power, the manifest presence of God be revealed through your word and by your spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this house. Have your way in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for those listening online. Welcome. I want to welcome each and every one here today. God is a great and awesome God. And you'll realize something. The Holy Spirit intertwines believers in churches, and He has a flow. And every day, every moment, there's a flow of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you picked up on it today, but it's a word called grace. It was ministered by Pastor Lacey. It was ministered by Pastor Tim. It was spoken on through testimonies. The grace of God. The favor. It's many different definitions. But Pastor Tim broke it down to two main ones. The unearned favor of God and the empowerment of Almighty God upon His people. And that's what grace is. That's what favor is. And the title of my message is Favor for the Impossible. Favor for the impossible. So it is not shocking to me that the Lord wants to impart His grace upon His people here this morning. You're in for a blessing this morning. If you haven't been blessed already, but even if you have, get ready because more is coming. Because the favor of God doesn't stop flowing. It just increases from the ankles to the knees to the hips. All the way up, the grace of God. And you wonder why people walk in favor, in grace, and it seems like doors just fly wide open. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. If we push physically, the door never seems to open. But when the grace and the favor of God come upon us, the door just opens. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because many people are dealing with things that seem impossible. But when the grace of God shows up, nothing's impossible. Amen. Because nothing's impossible with God. Zero. Nothing is impossible to God. And you're going to see something. And again, Pastor Lacey, she kind of ministered my sermon in a shortened version. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to talk about Mary and how the favor of God was on Mary. And it was spoken about the virgin birth. How in the world, something that's never happened, something that science cannot describe or understand, man has never seen it and will never see it again, an impossible feat all of a sudden came to be with the birth of Jesus Christ, with the conception of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is birthing something in people here today. He hasn't stopped doing what He did then. He's doing it now. He is birthing Christ in you. Paul even prayed it, didn't he? I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. What was he doing? He was declaring and believing that Almighty God's grace would be poured out upon man. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit would come alive in the believer's life, in people's lives. That's what God does. That's the business that He's in. He is in the business of an impossible becoming a possible. That's His business. If you read Genesis to Revelation, it's a book full of normal, everyday, average, mostly below average people that God decided to say, you know what? My grace is upon you. You're going to part the Red Sea today. My grace is upon you. You're going to kill Goliath today. My grace is upon you. The walls of Jericho are going to fall today. Why? Based off of your words. Amen. You see time and time again. You know, Moses didn't come to the Red Sea and be like, you know what? This is easy for me. I'm going to take this staff and I'm going to slam it down. And all of a sudden, all this is going to happen because I got great power. No. He looked back and saw the army chasing him, saw the sea in front of him, and thought, the only thing I got is God. That's all I got is God's grace. You may have the rock in front of you and the rock behind you and the rocks beside you thinking, it's impossible. There's no way anything is going to work here. Guess where you're at? You're at a place primed for God's grace to be used. For the favor of God to come upon you and just lay all the rocks to pieces. When you see what God's love and his compassion and his favor has done for mankind, there's no limit. We serve a limitless God. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's bills. I don't care if it's health. It doesn't matter what people have spoke over you or what your family tree looks like or doesn't look like. When the favor of God shows up on someone, it changes everything. The enemy and all his cohorts, all the demons, they have to fall to the power of the grace of God. Grace is an empowerment above the natural realm. It's the Holy Spirit working in such a way in a believer's life that you live in a place of what the world calls impossible, it is possible for me. Those that knew me prior to being in ministry, me standing here, just like Pastor Tim. Impossible that we'd ever be ministers of the gospel, but the grace of God. The grace of God. Some of you out there, you're thinking to yourself, God can't use me. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm telling you right now, you get a hold of this truth, the power of God will transform your life from this day forward. You'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Never the same again. And his grace just keeps flowing. It's not a trickle. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant outpouring of God's Spirit. We live in the dispensation of grace. So it's not, oh, we have grace on Sunday, and the rest of the week the grace is dried up. It doesn't work that way. Faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift from God. The gift of grace is available to everybody. Everybody listening online, your grace, man, it's sufficient. It is His grace is ready to be activated in a moment's notice. Yeah. As soon as faith says, I want it, you got it. Yeah. That's what makes healing. That's what makes salvation. That's what makes miracles happen so quickly. Because faith says, yes, your word says this. Yes, I want it. It's mine. There's your miracle. When it doesn't happen, why does it not happen? Because we get a view that God can't do it. Or it's not for us. It happens to all of us. We're all believing for something. Something impossible. Something that's never happened before. Think about Noah. Do you think he really understood fully what he was doing when it never rained before? He's building an ark when it never rained before. How stupid does that look to man? But how powerful it was with what God did. You may think you're in a stupid place. You've made bad decisions. Dumb upon dumb decisions. We've all done it. But the grace of God will show up in a moment's notice. The love of God will show up. His compassion will show up. His power will be made available. And it was for Mary. Everybody get to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Stop right there. I believe King James says hail instead of rejoice. Hail, which is a greeting. The word rejoice or the word hail there is full of cheer, a greeting. The angel Gabriel came to her totally in excitement, totally overjoyed because the prophecy he already knew is coming to pass and she was the one that's going to bring it to pass. So the angel came rejoicing, excited, happy, thrilled, over the top joy because the Messiah is going to be conceived in you. And notice, he didn't give the prophecy starting out. He was so excited. He's like, rejoice. Oh, hell, the king is coming. You'll see something here, and when you understand how to operate in the kingdom of God, you won't look at the circumstance, you'll look at the one that's going to bring the glory to pass. And when you keep your eyes on him, you can rejoice in the midst of the storm, and then all of a sudden you're through the storm and you're like, what happened? I'm through the storm already, because your eyes were fixed on above. You were rejoicing in the midst of the situation, and you didn't allow your flesh or your mind, your will or your emotions to get tied up in the impossible. Your eye was focused on the possible. So you can rejoice in the midst of the storm. People wonder, oh, my bank account. Don't look at your bank account. Don't let that be the final authority. My God shall supply all of my needs. My God is going to heal my body. My God is going to deliver me from the wicked one. My God, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. My God. Doesn't matter what it looks like out there. My God lives in here. My vessel is filled with the glory of God. What the world says is impossible, God says it's possible. When the world says, you'll not be a preacher, God says, you are a preacher. And preach my word. Preach my word. Hail, full of cheer, a greeting. It's always positive. When you rejoice, when you greet somebody with the glory of God, it's always positive. We need to learn something here, church. When you go and you minister to somebody, never go with an element of sadness or discouragement. Always go with an element of, you're coming through, speaking faith, declaring the victory. Don't come in a way down here. Come up here and it'll lift the atmosphere. When you come with the spirit of light and joy, it lifts the atmosphere. And it allows, when I do chaplain in the hospital, I ask people, what would they like prayer for? Because I want them to speak it. I want them to speak what they're believing for. And when they do that, 99% of the time, get out of the hospital. Get healed. Whatever it was that's ailing. And when they speak that, It instantly gives me the opportunity to share what the Word of God says to, so they can attach their faith to the Word of God. So it's never coming in like, man, I know you've had it rough. It's been hard. It's been a struggle. No, I come and God's Word says this is for you. This is what God's Word says is for you. And this is what you can have. And we're going to believe God. I'm going to take your hand and we're going to declare the healing power of God over your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Because you got to give something for people to attach their faith to. If you come in down here, that's fear. It doesn't help. It doesn't lift. So if the angel came and be like, man, this has never happened before, but God's getting ready to try to do something through you. Think about that. Mary wouldn't be like, come on, yeah, I'm ready. Even with this, you'll see that Mary still had questions, but she still said, be it unto me, Lord. So there's times you can be in faith and still wonder, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but God's got to do something really big. And if you can stay in that place of faith to say, God, you got this. I can't see it all, but you know what needs to happen. So I'm trusting in you, but don't speak the fear. Don't speak what you're thinking. Speak what you're believing. And that changes the circumstance. It changes the impossible to a possible, because it's already possible. You just got to see it as possible. There's not an impossible. That should not be in your vocabulary, church. Impossible is not in your vocabulary. Sickness should not be in your vocabulary. Pain, disease, that should not be in your vocabulary. You say, well, it's true, it happens. Sure, but it doesn't have to happen to you. As a believer, we are the healed of the Lord. We are the healed of the Lord. It doesn't matter what it looked like in the hospital when I go visit people. Stage 4, stage whatever. It does not matter. God is there. And when God is present, the impossible becomes the possible. Amen. When God's favor is there, everything else is done. Nothing compares to the glory of God in the favor. If God wants to move on somebody and heal them, which he does every single person, all they have to do is say, I want it. I want it. I want the grace of God. And the grace does not look at the past. The grace looks at the now. The favor of God looks now, at the present time. It didn't. The angel did not come to Mary and say, well, your past life was like this, this, and this. So we thought we were going to do it, but we found this, this, this in your life, so we're going to move on to Mary number two. Didn't work that way. He didn't ask the details of the life. God said, the favor of God is on you. The blessing of the Lord is on you. And all she did was receive it. All she did was receive it. I want to get you to the place where you can see every area of your life. I'm going to receive from God. I'm going to receive from God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to receive from God. God is for me. He's not against me. God is my, he is for me in every situation. And when you can see that, you can live your life with a positive outlook no matter what. No matter what's happening, you can see the glory and the presence of God. You can see, hey, God is for me. Who can be against me? Nobody. There may be somebody against you, the enemy, or people that the enemy is using, but they don't compare to the favor and the grace of God. See, people put the enemy and God on the same playing field. They're not even in the same spectrum. One's the creator of heaven and earth, and one is a created being. Come on. And we put them up. Oh, there's an angel on one side and Satan's on the other. Baloney. They're not even in the same camp. He may be speaking out there somewhere else, but he can't be in here. Because the glory of God is in here, and wherever there's light, darkness has to go. Right. The hell with darkness. It doesn't have to be a part of your life. Right. Not one day in your life do you have to accept darkness. Right. Not one day. And I know people probably post on Facebook or whatever, or come to me and say, but you don't understand. I don't need to understand. When I got it rooted and grounded in me that God is a good God, and he cares about his children, and he loves me, and he sent his son to die for me, and he gave me the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I know that, when I know I'm the healed of the Lord, I don't accept any other report besides healed, whole, and set free. There may be things I'm working through. There may be things I don't understand, but it's the glory of God and my comforter that lives in me that's going to guide me right through the situation. I don't have to know everything to be perfected. I'm perfect because of the righteousness of God that lives on the inside of me. I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. You are righteous. That is the favor of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. Sorry, don't toot your own horn. It's not about you. It's about him and what he did. And when you receive him, you receive his favor. His grace is all over your life. Each one of you, his grace is all over. When you see it, you'll walk in it. Hallelujah. Thank you. So it says, rejoice, highly favored one. Not just great one, highly favored. The word favored there is endued with grace. And that word endued means provided with quality and ability. God already saw she was perfect for the job. God already saw she had the ability to make it come to pass. God knows the purposes and the plans he has for you. He would not have them if he didn't think you could do them. But what you need to realize is it takes the grace of God to get it done. Without God, without the word of the Lord, and some of you maybe are going through it right now where you're seeking the Lord on ministry or what the Lord's speaking to you in this next phase of your life. You know, whether it be marriage, whether it be kids, whether it be business, whether it be ministry, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We should all be desiring to go up. We should all be looking for increase, multiplication. Okay, so that's not a prophetic word. That's just a word. Amen. It's not, I'm not thus saith the Lord. It's like we should all be looking positive, right? So we should all be looking for increase. And what happens here is when you're looking for increase, you're trusting God as a believer. And that's what's going to give you, because that gives you the steps to increase, is the power of God, the grace of God. See, many people just want to speak something by faith, but they don't want to receive the grace of God to go along with it. Because it's the grace that really gets it done. That's the empowerment that gets the job done, is the grace of God. Because without grace, you can speak all day long. But if God's grace isn't there, look at it this way. If you have unforgiveness in your life, but you're still speaking the word, guess what? The grace of God can't operate where unforgiveness and sin is. Okay, so you can speak the word that, hey, I'm healed. But if you haven't got things dealt with on the inside and your heart right before the Lord, it limits the grace of God from being poured out. So it's faith and grace. They operate in balance together. You can't have the grace of God without faith, because faith pulls the grace into the realm of the natural. All right, that's what faith does. Faith pulls on heaven, for by grace, God's grace, through faith. Faith is the avenue that God's grace flows. So faith has to be in operation. So faith works by love, and we walk by faith. So when you walk by faith, you can walk in God's grace all the time. It's not a skip. Oh, I have it now. Oh, I miss it there. The reason is we need to keep our faith turned on to keep God's grace flowing. So when you walk by faith, you can walk in God's grace constantly. Constantly in the grace of God, the favor of God on your life. Wake up in the morning. Thank you, God, for the grace that's on my life. Thank you, God. This is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to live this day. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to take time with you, have some intimate time with you and talk to you, hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is upon my life. You take that, you build your faith, get your eyes on him, and you're walking with the Lord all day. And the grace of God. And there may be things happen in front of you, around you, but all of a sudden, no, the enemy can't come near your dwelling place, because it's like the grace of God is a bubble around you. Yeah. Where the enemy, he cannot tread where the grace of God is. It's the power of God. The power of God. An enemy has been defeated. Yeah. Amen. Rejoice, highly favored one. So that's endued with grace or special honor, acceptable. Guess what? When God's grace comes on you, you're accepted. You are the beloved, church. So you know what? You are prime for the grace of God to operate in your life. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus, you open the door to the grace of God. That's how it operates. Wherever Jesus is, God's grace is. His favor is upon you. So it goes on, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Now it goes on and says, blessed are you among women. That some manuscripts don't even have that part in there. So we're not going to minister on that part. But it says, the Lord is with you. In my own opinion, Pastor Dave's opinion, the reason we don't rejoice and the reason we don't see ourselves as favored in God's grace on us is because there's times where we don't believe the Lord is with us. We don't feel good enough for him to be with us. We did something and we just feel like we're not good enough. But when you realize that it's not about your performance that allows God's grace to operate. God has grace way before your performance came about. Okay? Performance does not move God. Faith moves God. Remember that. Hebrews 11. Faith moves God, not performance. Okay, so church attendance, coming to every meeting, doing this, this, and this, that does not move God. Your faith and trust moves God. Amen. And that allows his favor to be. I'm not against those. Yeah, you should be at every church service. You should be serving the Lord. Amen. You should be praying for your neighbor, loving your neighbor, all those things, because faith without works is dead. So there is a work that goes along with your faith. Amen. And that's how people see your faith, is by your works. Again, totally different message. Let's keep going here. It goes on in verse 29. It says, and I don't have, does anybody have Amplified Classic? Mm-hmm. This is out of Amplified Classic. It says, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. Now, I read that first because I want you to see something here. As soon as the angel spoke about all the good things that are getting ready to happen, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. What's the next thing that usually happens when you get a word of the Lord? Your mind goes, starts wondering, how's this all going to work out? Right? When I got called into ministry, combining that one evening on a John Deere combine, and I came home and I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing? When I came home and told my wife we're leaving the farm, what am I thinking? And then you start, and of course my wonderful wife said, you got to claim it tonight because tomorrow we're going to think we're crazy. And sure enough, tomorrow we thought we were crazy, but we declared and we put it in the ground. We staked our claim. And say, you know what, this is the Lord. And we're going to obey that, and we're going to do it, no matter what it looks like. And what it was, it looked impossible. But God, obviously it worked out. Amen. Obviously it worked out. But there's so often, what do? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this was. She was like, this is out of my league. Anybody ever have a word of the Lord when he spoke to you and all of a sudden you think to yourself, that's well and good, but he may have missed it. Skeptical? Wondering? But the Amplified Classic I really like because it says revolving. So it was working. She had to do something to deal with that and still receive the word of the Lord. And that's the part people don't want to talk about. You got to realize that you have feelings, you have emotions, but don't let them be your final authority. Amen. God gave you emotions. God gave you feelings. Amen. If none of us had feelings, none of us would be married. Right? Come on. I hope you love your marriage. Maybe I'll speak to the ones online. You got to have some feelings, church. I hope you have feelings towards your spouse. Good Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. Am I missing something? Jesus. Marriage seminar 101 next week. All right. There's feelings and emotions that are built into you. But you'll realize as a believer, as you grow in God, those will attach to God's plan and God's will for your life. And they'll flow with it, not against it. Your feelings and emotions are designed to flow with the will of God because he gave them to you. But your stinking flesh has other plans. And that's what you got to deal with. You got to put your flesh under. And you got to renew your mind and get it aligned with the will of God. And when you do that, the grace of God will pour out. It'll pour out. Your flesh is the only thing that can stop the grace of God. It's your flesh. It's your stinking flesh that you owe nothing to. Because the Bible says, I am not a debtor to my flesh. I owe my flesh nothing. Zero. And when you do that, you'll realize that you don't owe your flesh anything. You owe your life to God because he's the one that gave it to you. And when you do that, God's grace comes upon you. And then you start running with the presence of God. You run in the glory of God and you fulfill the God's plan for your life. I'm getting tongue-tied here. You get excited about what God's doing. Because I can stand here and I can see that God has great things for each of you. Amen. Because of his grace. I can't make it happen to you or for you. It's the grace of God that comes upon you. Joseph surely didn't seek the Lord to say, hey, Lord, can you use my wife in this? No. The grace of God came upon them. They didn't feel prepared. They didn't feel like they were the ones to make it come to pass, to be used by God. You will never feel like you're the one equipped to be used by God. I'm telling you that. That's pride if you do. Oh, come in the building. And I don't want to use anybody's name, but say someone comes in the building and they're like, man, I am divinely sent here to be used by God. I've been prophesied over 50 times, hands laid on me by apostles this, this, and this, and I am here to tell you something good. I'm like, good. Sit down and enjoy the service. Amen. People, if you get to a place where you think you're above God, you better sit down or you're getting ready to fall down. I'm serious. Because people get into a place where they think they know a little bit and then they got it all figured out. And that's a bad place to be. And that's not in a place of faith. And God's grace is to come upon you in your inability to get the job done. God's grace meets the need. Yeah. I say this all the time. There's a plaque in our house. I read it often. That says, I do my best and God does the rest. And the reason I read that is because I feel inefficient in so many ways at times. But as I read that, I know in my inefficiency, God's grace is going to fulfill. He'll bridge the gap. He'll make up the difference. So it doesn't matter what the Lord's speaking to you, how long you've been in ministry. If you've never been in ministry and you just got saved today, God has a plan for your life, and His grace can take you into places you've never been before in a real quick time frame. Real quick time frame. So it goes, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So often our feelings get in the way. But when you say, when you know that God's favor is upon your life, you don't have to feel a certain way. You can feel a certain way, but God's favor will take care of everything. And notice the reassurance there, because he already said, rejoice, highly favored one. But then again, he says in verse 30, you have found favor with God. Those are the words I want to hear. Amen. Those are the words I want to hear. You have found favor with God. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. When you grab a hold of that truth, when God's favor is upon you, there is no end to your life. Amen. Think about that. There is no end to your life. It's unending because God's favor is upon you. So in this life, there's favor. In the life to come, it's heaven. Yeah. You can't lose when God comes upon your life. Amen. And when you see that, you want others to hear the goodness of God. You want others to receive the grace of God, the favor of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the peace of God. All that is in the grace of God. His favor changes everything. It removes sin. It gets your eyes on God and sets you on a path and a course to heaven. It's a wonderful truth. It's a powerful truth. In Matthew 28:20, you don't have to turn there, but you can, in the Great Commission, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm sharing that because I want you to realize that God will never leave you nor forsake you. His grace doesn't dry up. His grace pours out the more. Amen. His grace doesn't dry up. His grace pours out the more. And you say, well, that's another level in ministry, or that's another level in business. I don't know. God knows. And His grace is sufficient. So whatever it is that He's speaking to you, His grace will meet that need. Every time, no matter what it is. Things in the physical, things in the spiritual. That's why His grace is enough in the natural for business and things of that nature, or in marriage and things you don't understand. God's grace will help you figure things out. And it doesn't matter what level you are at. Even you younger people, it doesn't matter. God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough. There's no better place for young people to get than get into the Word of the Lord, get into the house of God and start serving God. Because God's grace, I can't imagine being a young person now. They need the grace of God on their life. They need the grace of God on their life like never before. All of us do. Because it's an empowerment to empower you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the grace of God. Grace never leaves. We choose not to receive. Grace never leaves. God will never leave you nor forsake you. That means His power, His healing, His grace, His love, His favor will never leave you. Never. Never will God give up on you. Ever. Ever. I know we can get to a mindset where we feel discouraged and God gave. No, God did not give up on you. That's a lie of the enemy. You can tell that lie to go back to hell where it came from. That's a lie. God never gives up on anybody, ever. And there's never someone that does not have hope. There's never an impossibility with God. Never did you read scripture where it was impossible for something to change. Ever. Physical or spiritual. The loaves and the fishes. Not a problem with Jesus. Had more than what they needed with baskets left over. Peter walking on water. Not a problem with Jesus. Come right out to me, Peter. Come see me. I'm right here. Not a problem. All through scripture, nothing was a problem for God. Never was there an impossibility with God. I'm telling you, you get this in your spirit, it'll change you. It'll work on the inside of you, and you'll see. There's going to be testimonies to people. Man, the grace of God came upon, and this happened. Because you opened the door for the favor of God to start operating in your life. Amen. And he's already doing it. Just getting born again is the grace of God. Because none of us are good enough. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But God loved us so much, he sent his son. Thank you, God, for your grace to send your son, Jesus Christ, to deliver me from this sinful world, this sinful nature that I lived in. Hallelujah. Amen. That simple truth applies in everything. Don't get over into religion trying to figure things out, trying to operate in a way to move God. Man, it's the simple grace of God that got you into heaven. It's the simple grace of God that's going to keep you in heaven. Amen. It's going to keep you in healing. It's going to keep you in freedom. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Amen. So the three things that happen in verse 28. Rejoice, favor, and I am with you. What a wonderful thing to hear. Man. Hail, hail. Greetings to you. I have good news for you. The favor of God is on you, and I'm never going to leave you. That's his word for you today. I got a greeting for you, church. I know we've been here like an hour and a half or whatever, but I'm going to greet you again. Rejoice. Be overjoyed because you have favor with God, and he'll never leave you.
Amen.
If that's all you get today, leave today blessed, knowing that God will never leave you and you are favored by him.
Hallelujah.
His grace and power is upon you when you walk out that door. When you go to work tomorrow, his grace is there.
That's right.
And he hadn't left you.
That's right.
Amen. Every morning, greet yourself. Thank you, God. Thank you for coming and being a part of my life. Thank you for giving me life. This is the day you made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm a happy guy. And when you receive that, every day you live, you can live with a smile on your face. You can live happy. Some of you got a hold of it. Some of you are working on it. Amen. You can live happy, whole, healed, delivered every day of your life. When you make a decision for the grace of God. Not in your own power. If you do it in your own power, you're going to struggle. You're going to burn out, and it's going to be a hard life. You're going to try to carry everything on your shoulders. But the grace of God is saying, it's all yours, Lord. I can't live this life without you.
Amen.
And that's when the grace just flows. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Amen.
And you can just float through life. And you can look at things and like, I don't understand that. But you do, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing me how to deal with that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for telling me I don't even have to deal with that.
Right.
Amen. Because the Lord knows what you have need of. And he knows there's areas you do not need to go. And I'm telling you, a lot of believers would eliminate a lot of stress in their life if they said the word no to some people. Amen. Or some situations. Or some subject matter. Don't get caught up on some Instagram tirade that somebody's going through.
Yeah.
You know, people make fun of me for not liking social media, and I'm not going to bash it. But I'm telling you, it's very freeing not scrolling through and looking at everybody's stuff. I'm sorry. You know, for all you social junkies. But for me, getting in the Word and hearing what God says about me is what empowers me and gives me stability in life.
Yeah.
It really does. Not hearing everything about what's going on around me, because that influences me. So I have less prayer of stressful things because I'm not reading about them all the time. And I can just talk to the Lord and he can show me what to pray for. Or who to pray for. All right? And I didn't talk to Pastor Tim or Pastor Lacey about their grace message today. Pastor Lacey didn't have a grace message, but Pastor Tim did. But the Lord had something together. But but I didn't have to ask about it. You just flow in it. And when you pray, you don't have to be the one praying all the time. God will talk to you. Allow His grace to just speak to you. Allow that empowerment to come upon you. Just open up your spiritual ears to hear what He's saying. Amen. Talk to Him, but then listen to Him. Amen. It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that works. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 34. We're going to be done before long. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, notice she responded, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" Talk about an impossible. Talk about an impossible. I don't even know a man. Yeah, she was betrothed to Joseph. She was dating Joseph, engaged to Joseph, but they have not been together. So how is this going to happen, Lord? Good. That's a logical question. That's a very valid question. All right? And all of you have valid questions to God. But you have to allow God's grace to flow to answer the question. Many people want the answer robo-called back to you. Like, give me the answer, Lord. I need the answer or I'm not doing it. That's not faith. That's the arm of the flesh. Oh, Lord, you told me to do this, but I can't see it, so I'm not stepping. That's not faith. Faith steps. Faith is based off of the unseen realm. For by faith, you will... Hold on. Come to me. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith doesn't have to see it to step. The grace of God is not seen. You step. You receive it, and then it comes. Amen. It's not received by you working it out. It's received by you receiving it as a gift. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren." Notice something here. He answered the question, but it still probably didn't appease her thought patterns. He told her what was going to happen, but that still probably wasn't like, "Oh yeah, thanks. I got it all together now. The Holy Spirit's going to come and I'm still going to get pregnant." Well, that's good to know. But notice what the Lord says here. He even gave the example of Elizabeth being barren. That word barren, the Greek word for barren there is steros, where they get the word sterile. And the word sterile means nothing grows. All right? She was barren. Like, no possibility. No possibility. She was sterile. In the sixth month, for her who was called barren, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Yeah. So, I'm telling you, the presence of God is so strong up here. Whew. You may be looking at a situation that you think is barren. And by your view, it may look barren. But by God's view, nothing's impossible. Amen. God will make it happen for you even this day. Amen. Even this day. No matter what you're working through, no matter what you're dealing with, you're not barren. Yeah. The impossibilities of man are right where God wants to operate. Because when you come to the end of yourself, that's when God can show up. Hallelujah. That's when God can show up. For with God, nothing is impossible. No word spoken by God is without power. Remember that. No word spoken by God is without power. And God's word says, for with God, nothing is impossible. So what makes something impossible? God not being there. So the moment we push God out or we don't allow God in, that's when it becomes impossible. But when you allow God in, the impossible goes out the window. Where God shows up, where His favor comes, impossibility go. They can't cohabitate. Because impossibility is of the enemy. That's a lie. Because nothing is impossible with God. Man, I believe that's going to drop in your spirit. So when you see something or you deal with something and you look at it through the eyes of God, you're like, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I will not lack. I will not be sick. I will not live in the state of this world and what it says I am. I believe what God says. I believe what God says. Amen. For with God, nothing is impossible. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something I missed here in verse 38. I miss verse 38, and that's the main point of my sermon. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This whole story of Gabriel coming and speaking, the impossibility of the Messiah being conceived by the Holy Spirit, never ever happened, never will happen again the way it happened. How Jesus came. Notice how the end in verse 38 reads. Now Mary said, she was skeptical at times. She had thoughts revolving in her head. But notice what she says. Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." She knew she was God's. "Let it be to me according to your word." That's the key to this whole sermon. That's the whole key to favor for the impossible. "Let it be to me, Lord. Let it be to me as your servant." What are you believing for today? What are you dealing with today? I want everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads. Close your eyes and bow your heads. We didn't get near to where I thought we would get to. But what I want you to see here is where Mary got to the place of saying, "Let it be unto me, Lord." She didn't have all the answers. If you could play some instrumental or some music. Thank you. You listening online, you've heard this message. But that scripture right there, Mary, "Let it be unto me, Lord." That is Mary saying, "Whatever your will is, Lord, I am here. I am ready to receive what it is that you have. I am ready to conceive in me the Messiah. I am ready for the Holy Spirit to come and overshadow me and do a work on the inside of me to bring forth the Savior of the world." What the Lord did in Mary, He wants to do in every believer. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit wants to come and overshadow you and do a work and birth God's kingdom and His purpose in you, so you can bring forth the Messiah to those around you. This is the gospel message. This is the key to the Christian life, is receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and minister and fill you to overflowing, to be used by God, and to go and be a witness to man, to share God's love. First and foremost, I want to speak to those that have never asked Jesus into their heart. This may sound so unfamiliar to you, but it's because Jesus has not been birthed in you. And this world's been speaking to you in many different voices, in many different ways. But there's a true voice from heaven. And that voice is the voice of the Son of God, Jesus Himself. And He wants to come and speak with you. He wants to come and live with you. And if you want to take time right now and ask Jesus into your heart, to receive this kingdom that we've talked about today. To remove all sin and all shortcomings. His name is Jesus. He's the Redeemer of the world. Just say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again just for me. I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. That's the grace of God. That's the favor of God to transition you from death to life. And that grace operates in your life this moment. In every moment you allow it to operate, it will continue to flow in your life. The grace of God. I want to thank you for those listening online. God bless you. We love you. We're praying for you. Have a great, godly, filled week. Thank you for joining us. For all of you listening here before us, you may be going through something right now. Working through a situation, trying to figure out the outcome of something. I'm telling you, there's a grace that's available. There's a grace that's available. The favor of God, an empowerment that will come and change your life. From this day forward, the grace of God. You say, how can I get that? By faith. By faith. You say, what's faith? Being fully persuaded in what God's word says. What does that mean? That means that if you want God's grace, you ask Him and you'll receive it. Believe that it's yours. Believe that you can have it. Don't go another moment without the grace of God. And Lord, I believe that each and every person here today will get a fresh revelation of the grace of God. The favor of God that's available for them. The favor of God that'll move mountains. The favor of God that'll bring walls down. The favor of God that'll kill giants. The favor of God that'll part the Red Sea. Hallelujah. There's a heaven to gain, church. There's more God has for you. And it's by the grace of God. It's His favor. Don't look at churches around you. Don't look at believers around you. Look to God as your source. Because He wants to do abundantly above all that you can ask or think. You may have a vision to do something for the Lord. I'm telling you, you need the grace of God. You need His favor upon that. Because as He gives you a vision and He gives you a word, He gives you the grace to perform it. We must decrease so He can increase. What do we need to increase in? The grace of God. The very empowerment from Almighty God. As I said before, it's steps. You grow spiritually. And I'm telling you, the higher you go with God, or the deeper you go with God, whichever way you want to look at it, the more reliance on the grace of God you need. The more favor you need. Because the persecution increases, the lies increases. All these things, the enemy does not want you to get to the place that God has for you. But God, God has given you His grace to see you through. You may be in the midst of the most severe storm you've ever been in. The biggest struggle you've ever been in. I'm telling you, God's grace is present right now. If the Lord's speaking to your heart right now, I want you to come forward. I want to lay hands on you and impart to you. Hallelujah. The prayer of agreement and the gift of faith for it to come alive and be made manifest in your life. God will change your life forever. This is your day to step out into a new realm of the glory of God. A new realm of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.